Well, thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted financial and business information source. Today's special guest, adventure capitalist Jim Rogers. Jim Rogers joins us from his Singapore home with his views on the economy as well as the precious metal sector. Good morning, Jim Rogers.
Good evening to you. I'm delighted to be here.
Let's start off with the Ukraine-Russia drama. You know, we've seen some conflict escalating there. Tensions are clearly ratcheting up, you know, and there's a lot of talk about these sanctions that the West is trying to place on Russia. Are we essentially sabotaging the U.S. dollar by making these moves?
I would think. It would make anybody who's using the U.S. dollar sit up and take notice, because it's clear that if America doesn't like you, they have some weapons at their disposal, including blocking your U.S. dollars. So I would suspect that more and more people are saying, well, wait a minute, maybe I should use something else besides U.S. dollars. So, yes, in the long term, part of the continued move away from the dollar, people move away from the dollar for many fundamental reasons, but this just gives other impetus or more impetus for people to move away sooner.
You've gone on record that we could see a dollar crisis over this and other issues.
We're certainly going to have serious dollar problems down the road. America's the largest debtor nation in world history. No nation in the history of the world has ever been so deep in debt, and the debt's getting deeper every day. So no country has ever gotten itself into this kind of situation and then gotten out without a problem. So we will definitely have problems, serious problems with the dollar. I have no idea when. Certainly, at the moment, I'm actually long the U.S. dollar, because I do expect more problems in the currency market. And rightly or wrongly, a lot of people, when they see problems, race to the U.S. dollar as a safe haven. It is not a safe haven, but many people perceive it that way, so I own the dollar at the moment.
You know, speaking of safe havens, let's talk about the ultimate safe haven, the precious metal sector. Lee started off to a very good beginning here in 2014. Things have been a bit more sluggish lately. Seems as though most eyes have been on the equities market, which has been in a five-year bull market, getting maybe a bit toppy, taking some of the spotlight away from the precious metals. Do you expect better times ahead for gold and silver investments?
My view is from gold and silver, the same that it has been for some time. Board talking to me about gold. I own gold. I own silver. I haven't sold any. I've hedged a little bit, but not enough to talk about. So I am waiting. I periodically buy when it gets weak. I buy a few coins to give as gifts. But basically, I'm waiting. I have no idea when or at what level, but I'm looking for another chance to buy gold sometime in the next year or two.
There's also some talk about exchange controls. People are getting a bit nervous about just what the powers that be and our officials, measures they could take against keeping people from diversifying and protecting assets offshore.
Little doubt in my mind that there will be exchange controls on America or on Americans and in America sometime in the next few years. Again, I have no idea the timing, but when a nation just gets itself in this kind of situation, one of the things which politicians have always done is they have imposed exchange controls when things get bad. So I know America will do it too. We've had exchange controls in the U.S. before. We'll have them again. So I would certainly urge people to think about protecting themselves in whatever way they can by having some of their assets or all of their assets, depending on what they're doing, outside the U.S.
You've also given investors a couple of your favorite keys to successful investing, that we must find something that's inexpensive, something that's cheap, and then you need to find a factor that's going to, you know, change the dynamics around that cheap asset. Walk us through some of the steps that have helped you become such a successful investor.
I'm not very good at short-term trading. I, anyway, am not very good at market timing, so I just, and again, as far as I'm concerned, and this does not apply to traders, but most people should do nothing most of the time. If they own something, they should wait. In my case, I might wait years for it to mature and develop. That's how I like to invest. I like to find things because of positive changes. So most people, or at least I won't say that, I spend a lot of time doing nothing, waiting for to find opportunities or to let opportunities mature. For instance, once something I'm watching at the moment, and it even acted a little bit, is Russia. I was bearish on Russia for 40 after visiting there my first time, but now I've started thinking about and even acting and have made a few investments in Russia, which is a terrible, perhaps the cheapest market in the world and certainly one of the most hated. So, but I watched for decades and now think I see positive change.
I know that many of our listeners are following the Ukraine-Russo drama, and I'm sure they're scratching their heads saying, now, what particularly makes Russia, other than its cheapness, what fundamental factors are on your radar screen that's drawn you to that nation?
Putin, or somebody in the Kremlin, seems to have realized that just putting people in jail or executing or taking their assets is not a good way to develop your nation in the long term. And certainly not to develop your reputation in the long term. They have now set up funds and programs where they will invest alongside outsiders so that if the outsiders make money, they will too. Conversely, if outsiders lose money, they will too. So he seems to have gotten it, or somebody seems to have gotten it. That does not mean he could not change his mind again. You know, Putin basically was a KGB thug, probably still is, deep down inside. But something has happened so that the people in the Kremlin now want to attract outside money and expertise and keep it. Putin talks about making the Moscow Stock Exchange, making Moscow one of the financial centers of the world. It's just pretty astonishing to me, you know, the home of Lenin, the home of Stalin, becoming an international financial center, but they are starting to spend a lot of time, money, energy doing so. I don't know if it'll work, but it probably does mean something is going to sound good, at least for a while.
Very few people, I think, are aware of this, but Russia actually produces more oil than Saudi Arabia. It's the largest single oil-producing nation worldwide.
Well, Russia could probably be the largest producer of nearly anything just because it's such a gigantic area. I know there are things in Russia that they don't even know are there themselves. It's so huge. So, yes, they are the largest producer, and they probably can find lots and lots of more oil and everything else in the future.
Well, shifting from Eurasia over to Europe, I wonder if we could discuss the interesting legislation that the EU has imposed in the past couple of weeks on its citizens. Apparently, any savings account with over 100,000 euros is now a susceptible potential target for bailouts if the banking system has another 2008-like crisis. I'd like your thoughts on another Cypriot-like event or an MF Global, whether or not that could be an issue facing North Americans as well.
Oh, no, it certainly, the U.S. Government has changed various and sundry regulations and laws so that we, too, being Americans, could have our bank accounts raided, I'll use that term, or that the government would say, no, we would just take part of your bank account to save the bank. Either way, you and I, if we have money in a bank which is failing, the politicians decided they're not going to use taxpayer money to bail them out anymore. So that means that the depositors were on the hook. That change has been made in the UK. That change has been made in Europe. So it's probably been made worldwide. If it hasn't been, it will be. So depositors are now also vulnerable when banks get into trouble. So be very careful.
You know, you've also talked about not just depositors, but 401ks, pension plans. Anything where the government is familiar with your funds could be on the chopping block. some government bonds, some of that nice paper for the money that you've slaved away a lifetime to accumulate?
Well, in the 30s, many governments confiscated people's gold. Gold was part of the monetary system, an integral part back then. It's not now. So I suspect that when governments come after more money, they will start with retirement plans because they need money. They don't need gold this time around. And that's where the money is. There's huge amounts of money in 10Ks, in IRAs, etc. So I suspect that they will do exactly what you said. They will say, oh gosh, everybody's been having problems making money in their retirement accounts. What we will do is we will give you 30-year government bonds, guarantees, and a fixed rate of interest so you don't have to worry anymore. And we'll take your assets. They'll say it's good for us. They'll say it's for our own good, as governments have always done when they've imposed more restrictions or controls or more confiscation. So no, it's already happened in a couple of countries, Argentina, Poland, so the precedent are being set. And just be very careful. They're desperate. They're getting more desperate, they being governments around the world, because they're out of money.
I just can't really wrap my mind around the concept that they're going to put the taxpayer on the hook for what really is the government's fault, because it's their fiat system. They're the ones spreading the money throughout the system. You deposit $1, they send out $9 or $10. It's just unconscionable, but maybe that's a topic for another show. Some of these mining stocks have been beaten down. It's been a tough 4 or 5 years for them. The precious metals hopefully finding a bottom in the next year or so. Are you starting to find any bargains in the mining sector?
I suspect there'll be another chance to buy precious metals sometime in the next year or two. If and when I see some kind of panic selling in gold or silver, I hope that I'll be smart enough to step in, buy more gold, more silver, and perhaps even some mining shares. But at the moment, I'm just looking out the window and waiting.
I think it's probably sound advice. And the pattern in some of these indexes really looks like they're looking for a capitulation moment where people just toss up their hands. You know, we had an awful lot of euphoria and enthusiasm in that market for 12 years. That can take a while for that type of sentiment to shift.
Not many people have given up on precious metals yet. You're right. Many people still think that gold and silver are holy and mystical and cannot go down. So there's still too many bulls, in my view. Now, I own it. I'm not selling, but I consider myself more realistic about historical prices of anything. And if and when I see something to cause me to act, I hope I will. Now, I quickly hasten to tell you, you know, if America suddenly goes to war with Russia or something, I'll be buying gold at 1600 or who knows on the way up as it goes through the roof. But at the moment, I think it's more likely there'll be a selling climax of some kind in the next couple of years. And I hope I'm smart enough to act. Thank you very much. Anytime. Let's do it again.